Hello, this is Nancy Pippin with the Pantograph for Wednesday, September the 20th, 2017. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headline, Hales Lands City Job in Joliet. Leadership in Tough Fiscal Times Praised. This is by Maria Nagel. Bloomington City Manager David Hales, who was praised Tuesday by the mayor for leading the city through its toughest financial times, is leaving for Joliet. The Joliet City Council voted Tuesday to authorize a 3-year contract for Hales to serve as its new city manager, likely starting November 27th at an annual salary of $215,000. The City Council is extremely impressed with the qualifications and background of Mr. Hales, Joliet Mayor Bob O'Dirk said in a prepared statement. He is clearly a seasoned and respected city manager who will bring a tremendous amount of value to our city. Hales, who became Bloomington City Manager in December 2008, could not be reached for comment. In addition, it was said, "I am sorry to lose David." That was from Council Ward 6 Alderman Karen Schmidt, who has been serving as Mayor Pro Tem in Mayor Terry Reiner's temporary absence since August the 28th. "He has been a strong city manager and an asset to Bloomington," Renner said in a text message responding to a Pantograph request Tuesday night for comment. "I think he's really helped get the city through its toughest financial times. I wish David all the very best in this next assignment. Joliet has chosen well." Schmidt says Hale's contract provides for a 60-day notice, and I expect we will be discussing details regarding the date for his departure, she added. "Based on my experience with our last search, I know our council will work collaboratively to establish an open process for selecting our next city manager. The city will likely hire a search firm to conduct a national search for Hales' replacement," said Renner. "Hales will not be replaced easily," said Ward 2 Alderman David Sage, who has been one of Hales' strongest supporters on the council. "I believe David will do an outstanding job for the people and city of Joliet," said Sage. "I'm sad to see him leave. He's done an exceptional job for this council and the people of Bloomington." Hales came to the city when it was experiencing some very dark financial times, and David has successfully steered us through those times, said Sage. "Shortly after David was here, we all began to understand the true financial picture. The city's available cash was so low, I wasn't sure we were going to have enough to cover payroll during one period. The city has since put in place good financial management controls and policies, and the city's leadership team also improved under Hale's tenure," noted Sage. "He has hired a number of very competent department directors as a result of his work," said Sage. "He's done an exceptional job with economic development and always has done so in a truly humble manner and in a way that never draws attention to himself. He always has worked to give others the credit, including his staff as well as the council," said Sage. Normal City Manager Mark Peterson said Hales is well prepared to do a good job for Joliet. He's very experienced, certainly in Bloomington. I think he has encountered about every potential problem and issue that you can probably encounter, said Peterson. His selection in Joliet, which I understand was a very competitive process, is not only a very positive reflection on David, but a positive reflection on the city of Bloomington. I'm sure it's a loss to the city, but it sounds like it's a great professional opportunity for David, added Peterson, who plans to retire March 30th after 20 years as Normal City Manager and 10 years as Assistant City Manager. Peterson indicated he was not interested in filling the city manager vacancy in Bloomington, saying, I have a sneaking suspicion that I will be very busy in retirement. It is possible that Normal and Bloomington will be recruiting for its city managers at the same time, he added. So that's kind of an unusual situation where you have twin cities and those vacancies are for very different reasons, said Peterson. Following his shortest contract extension approved in May of 2016, Hales has been a finalist for similar jobs in two other communities. A second story that takes the headline is a police probe house fire that left man and kids dead. There is a photo gallery of this article at thepantograph.com, and there is a picture on the front page of a home with the crime scene tape cordoning off the area Tuesday as investigators walk out of a house at 14 Brittany Court, Bloomington, at which three people were found dead and a woman injured in an early morning fire. Here's our article. Investigators spent most of Tuesday at a Bloomington residence where three people, including two children, died and a woman was injured in what authorities said was a suspicious fire. Bloomington police and firefighters were called at 2:59 a.m. Tuesday to the residence at 14 Brittany Court in the Eagle Crest subdivision of Bloomington. Far northeast side. Bloomington Police Chief Brenda Hefner released few details during a three-minute news briefing at City Hall. We feel this fire was intentionally set but isolated, and there is no reason at this time to believe there are any threats to public safety, he said. There have been no arrests, and the circumstances surrounding this investigation indicate a still under investigation. McLean County Coroner Kathy Davis said has not yet released the names of the deceased pending notification of relatives. The victims were a middle-aged male, a toddler, and infant, she said. They were pronounced dead at 4:15 a.m. Autopsies are scheduled. After the news conference, Bloomington Fire Chief Brian Moore said one woman was transported to a hospital, but he declined to release further details. Hefner did not mention the survivor during the briefing and declined to answer any questions or provide any other information. We're not going to answer any questions at this time because we don't want to compromise the investigation, he said. McLean County State's Attorney Jason Chambers said his office has been contacted and is helping with the investigation. Neighbors strolled by and looked at the house Tuesday afternoon after the story broke. I didn't know anything about it until a friend sent me a message At about 10:30, said Charlotte Burris, who lives about 3 blocks away. We didn't hear anything in the middle of the night, but it's really sad. This is a good, quiet neighborhood, and nothing like this happens around here. Another neighbor, Tracy McWilliams, was walking her dog early Tuesday afternoon. I went for a walk this morning and saw some fire trucks and a lot of police cars, and I assumed there was a fire, she said. When I heard 3 people died, I was shocked. It's an even bigger shock now that I hear it was set intentionally. There doesn't appear to be much fire damage to the 2-story home. The door to the double garage was open with 2 vehicles inside, and neither appeared damaged. There appeared to be no damage to neighbors' homes, but fire department officials have not yet released information such as possible cause, damage estimates, or what departments were called to the scene. The most recent Twin City fatal fire was August 6th, when Diane McLaren Osborne, 68, died of smoke inhalation in her Normal condominium at 1538 Hunt. According to a search of Pantograph records, the last time there were multiple fatalities in a Twin City fire was June 11, 1991, when 2 children were killed following an explosion at a home on Hollycrest Drive. The Bloomington Police Department's Criminal Investigation Division is conducting the current investigation along with BFD, Bloomington Fire Department, and the Coroner's Office. Anyone with information is asked to contact Bloomington Police Detective John Heinlein at 309-434-2672 or jheinlein@cityblm.org. Our next article is a crime story. Its title is Foster Mother's Murder Sentence Cut. It's out of Pontiac and begins, "The life sentence of a foster mother convicted of murder was reduced to 38 years Tuesday after a judge issued a new sentence in the 2011 death of a 4-year-old girl placed in the woman's care. Heather LeMay, 34, was convicted in 2015 of killing Kiana Rudisell, who was placed along with her 3 siblings in LeMay's home in Cullman in eastern Livingston County. During her trial, LeMay denied inflicting the blows that led to the child's death, insisting the child's emotional issues caused her to hurt herself. LeMay was entitled to a new sentencing hearing because the state law under which she was sentenced to life was ruled unconstitutional. The state Supreme Court struck down mandatory sentences for defendants convicted of killing a person under the age of 12 or in murders with more than one victim. Defense lawyer Joshua Rinker argued Tuesday that a 20-year term was appropriate for LeMay, with a minimum term for first-degree murder. The fact that LeMay has no previous criminal record and leaves 2 daughters, 11 and 14, to be raised by the father warrants the lower sentence, said Rinker. Rinker said Josh LeMay has a unique challenge trying to be both mom and dad to the girls. Livingston County State's Attorney Randy Yannick sought the maximum term of 60 years for LeMay, arguing that if this is a parent's greatest nightmare, she's the author of that nightmare. The prosecutor said the case involved things that were known, including the extensive injuries suffered by the child, but unknowns also existed. They didn't know what Kiana would have grown up to be or how she would have contributed to society, said Yednick. In her comments to Judge Mark Helfemer, LeMay apologized for the mistake she had made but did not elaborate. Fellheimer acknowledged the observation of both lawyers that Illinois law requires LeMay to serve 100% of her sentence, and the child's age and circumstances of her death were significant factors requiring a significant sentence, said the judge. Before the sentencing, Fellheimer reaffirmed his previous ruling denying a new trial for LeMay. The judge rejected the defense arguments that LeMay was denied a fair trial because of failures by her lawyer to call several witnesses and requested that the jury be allowed to consider the lesser offenses of second-degree murder. The judge also noted that LeMay turned down a plea offer from the state to the lesser charges. And our final front page article is McLean County tax rate up slightly as budget drops. Here we go. McLean County is on track for a slightly higher tax rate but a lower overall budget for 2018, both rarities for county government. The tax rate would rise from 91.399 cents to $100 of equalized assessed valuation to 91.414 cents, costing the owner of a home, which would be valued at like $160,000, another 9 cents per year in property taxes. It's the second increase in 3 years after the county tax rate was studied from 2010 to 2015. Overall spending would drop, however, from $95,443.70 to $95,155,853, the first decrease since 2010. The drop is in employee salaries, which will be cut in response to lower revenues from the state, County Administrator Bill Wasson told the County Board on Tuesday. Real estate continues slow growth in McLean County. Our jobs number both locally and at a state level have staggered, and statewide sales tax has slowed, he said. These trends hurt the county's property tax, income tax, and sales tax revenues. The county also faces a $130,000 loss from a new state sales tax collection fee and $500,000 less in personal property replacement tax from the state. Wasson presented the budget to be approved in November, minutes after the board approved an early retirement program intended to let employees leave voluntarily rather than being laid off as a cost-saving measure. Of about 70 employees, officials hope 10 to 20 will retire, reducing a need for layoffs. About 20 jobs will be cut to address a $1 million deficit. The county could save $1.25 million if all employees over 55 years old with 18 or more years working for the county took early retirement. Employees will have 60 days to decide whether to accept one of the three packages with varying cash outputs based on service balanced against continuing to receive health insurance provided by the county for a specific amount of years. The county is also freezing wages and hiring, Wasson said. He hopes the county's employee union for corrections, dispatch, and highway employees will agree to forgo annual raises in new contracts starting January 1. The staffing reductions we recommend will likely result in longer lines for service, expanded automated phone answering, and requests for appointment benefits for some types of county services, Wasson said. The budget also includes fee increases of $1 per night to rent a campsite at Kamala Park and $2 to register a pet. The cost of these fees varies by situation, said Wasson. In other business, the board appointed Ryan Scrutchlow of Bloomington to a District 7 Republican seat through next November. He said he will resign his Bloomington Planning Commission seat to take this position. Rich Buchanan recently vacated the seat for health reasons. Loop Diaz, a former city council calendar, and Robert Fike, a former mayoral candidate, also interviewed for the opening. So that concludes our page one articles, and we'll move on here to some new facts on page two. Here's something you may not know. On the State Watch, earthquake felt in southeast Illinois, Albion. The U.S. Geological Survey reports that a small earthquake in southeastern Illinois was felt across parts of Illinois, Indiana, and Kentucky. The USGS says the preliminary 3.8 magnitude earthquake occurred at 6:47 a.m. Central Time on Tuesday, about 7.5 miles northeast of the city of Albion. The agency says the quake caused light to moderate shaking and very little damage. The quake's preliminary depth was little more than 7 miles. Edwards County Sheriff's Office in Albion says there were no reports of damage or injuries. The USGS says shaking was felt in Terre Haute and near Bloomington in Indiana, Owensboro and Paducah in Kentucky, Effingham and Carbondale in Illinois. Albion is about 140 miles west of Louisville. Mm-hmm. So that's something that was a bit of a surprise, I'm sure. Now as we move on in local news, we find that there's an Alzheimer's unit being weighed in at McLean County Nursing Home by Paul Swish. McLean County Nursing Home wants to convert one of its three wings to a unit specializing in care for residents with Alzheimer's disease and other dementia in 2018. The study is underway because there is a need for skilled care for people with dementia and to help the nursing home to revise its declining numbers of residents, nursing home administrator Cindy Wegner said Tuesday. This is in the planning stages, she told the Pantograph. Preliminary information was presented to the county's board health committee this month. The issue came up at the county board meeting on Tuesday, and Wagner hopes to have specific information, including financial projections and readiness for the health committee by next month. The plan would need to be approved by the health committee, the county board, and Illinois Department of Public Health. The nursing home, which is at 901 North Main Street in Normal, is a 150-bed facility with 6 private rooms and 72 rooms for 2 residents each. Wegner wants the 50-bed, 200-wing to be converted to an Alzheimer's unit of 26 private rooms. We will be providing a service for the people on Medicaid and private pay, she said. Converting the wing to an Alzheimer's unit would include installing new security doors and flooring and creating secure outdoor spaces for residents, she said. In addition to building and outer space requirements, attaining IDPH designation as an Alzheimer's unit would mean staff requirements and a vision statement. People with dementia require a specific type of care. Without a dementia unit, it's harder to provide care for those residents, said Wegner, who estimated that 60% of the nursing home residents have some type of dementia. The hope would be to train existing staff with a passion to work in that unit, Wegner said. Because the nursing home doesn't directly levy taxes for the operations, Wegner believes the conversion can be done without increasing property taxes. The 2017-2020 Alzheimer's Disease Illinois State Plan reported the need for quality residential care for people with dementia. Two other nursing homes in McLean County already have dedicated Alzheimer's units. The county nursing home's numbers of residents has declined from 130 in 2013 to 101 on Tuesday, Wegner said. The nursing home offers skilled care, and Wegner blamed the census drop on an increasing number of people opting for assisted living or remaining in their home. The nursing home not being a member of either Bloomington Normal Hospital Skilled Care Network, and a perception of some county residents that the nursing home is an elder facility for poor people. Because we are the county's home, some people think we are the public aid home, but we have residents who are on Medicare, Medicaid, or private pay, she said. Wegner is working on getting the nursing home qualified for the Hospital Skilled Care Network and on upgrades to the facility. To me, she said, it's all about the care, services, and therapy you provide. And this was presented by Paul Swish. Okay, let's look at a couple of highlights from today in history. As I told you at the top of the hour, today is Wednesday, September 20th. Did you know that it is the 263rd day of 2017 and that there are only 102 days left in this year? And in history, on this date, we find that in 1967, the Cunard Line, RMS Queen Elizabeth II, was christened by Queen Elizabeth II in Clydebank, Scotland. In the year 1519, Ferdinand Magellan and his crew set out from Spain on five ships to find a western passage to the Spice Islands. And as it turned out, Magellan himself was killed en route, but one of his ships eventually circled the world. In 1870, Italian troops took control of the Papal States, leading to the unification of Italy. And in 1884, the National Equal Rights Party was formed during a convention of suffragettes in San Francisco, and the convention nominated Belva Ann Bennett Lockwood for its president. In 1911, the British liner RMS Olympia collided with the Royal Navy cruiser HMS Hawke off the Isle of Wight. And although seriously damaged, the Olympic was able to return to Southampton under its own power, a beautiful ship. And we have the thought for today that history must stay open. It is all humanity, wrote William Carlos Williams, poet from 1883 to 1963. And my favorite part of our first half, here comes Flick's Fact. Other than their names, what do Bloomington, Texas, recently in the news because of Hurricane Harvey, and Bloomington, Minnesota, well-known Minneapolis and St. Paul suburb, have in common? So Texas, recently hit by Harvey, and Bloomington, Minnesota, a suburb of Minneapolis-St. Paul, what could they have in common? Well, the answer is they were both founded by families that traveled to those parts from Bloomington, Illinois, and named in honor of our Bloomington right here in Illinois. So this concludes our first half, and we'll take a short break. I will return with the second half of the Pantograph for Wednesday, September the 20th, 2017. Please stay tuned.